Do you want us to keep producing the best VCU men's basketball podcast out there? If so, there's a way you can help. If you enjoy this show, please consider donating to help us pay for the cost of making it available. You can do so by using the PayPal link in the description of the podcast or on social media sites where we post it. Even a small donation would help. Thanks in advance, and go Rams! Welcome to Rams Rewind, a podcast that looks back at all of the action from VCU men's basketball. After each game, our host George Templeton talks live on Facebook with Ram fans and gives his take on the team's performance. And now, here's George.
Well, folks, here's what you're not going to hear from me tonight. You're not going to hear any excuses. You're not going to sit here and hear me say, oh, if we had Max Scholga, because that is a bunch of crap. And anybody that comes to you and says, oh, they lost because they didn't have Max Scholga tonight, they are gaslighting you, they are full of baloney, and you shouldn't listen to them talk about VCU basketball, because that's a bunch of nonsense. Welcome to Rams Rewind, live here in the Good and the Bad and the Ugly group. If somehow you like what you hear tonight, and you want to help us out and shoot us some dinero, there is a link in the description to our PayPal on all your various podcast platforms. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us this year. And you know what? They did kind of steamroll us a little bit, Bruce Stevenson. But even then, you know, we started well in the second half, and we had a chance to do something, and we had a chance to win this game. And we just played as awful and dumb as possible. Worst basketball year that. Basketball of the year, Daniel Carter. I'm not gonna disagree. And you know what? Carlos Diaz, the reason we've had trouble with Duquesne is twofold. One, Trey Clark has wanted to stick it to us, and you know the rest of those guys have played hard for him against us. I don't know the story of why Trey Clark got kicked off the VCU team. I have no idea, but I got to tell you, he has come back and haunted us big time. Even tonight, even though tonight he didn't have a huge game, he had a big three that I felt like was one of the dagger shots. You know, he was 3 for 14. This wasn't last year where he just dogged us the entire game. But those guys in that locker room play hard for their teammates. And I guarantee you, he's told all of them, I do not want to be losing to this team. Even though the coach that kicked him off the team is gone, whatever it is. Well, Carlos Diaz, he was kicked off the team. Why we've never got an answer to that. And that really kind of grinds my gears because that hurt VCU at the time. And I like Trey Clark a lot. Let's just start with the first half. The foul trouble was an issue right away. You know, Kawani got fouls. Zeb gets fouls. Billups starts well and looks like he's going to have a good game and steps on a guy's ankle and sprains his ankle and can't play the rest of the game. And then Kawani comes out and gets 2 fouls right away and has 4 fouls. And I thought he'd get back in there. They didn't go back to him. I think they should have. Doug Hines says they didn't play with any intensity. I think there's something to that. But what they did was play stupidly. And this is what I mean. You're up against a team with some big guys up front that can be trouble, yes. But none of these people on the Duquesne front line are Daron Holmes or Chad Venning or Dame Adelakun, or pick your really good center power forward that you have to maybe think about double teaming once in a while. None of them are that. So there is no reason for the likes of Jason Nelson, Zeb Jackson, Joe Bamisil, Michael Bell, anybody who is a guard, there is not one reason you should be down there trying to help None. You got, you eat any of you guards, you got one job, and that is to stay with the all-league player that wears number three, Day-Day Grant, and that is to stay with the fringe all-league player and definitely all-defense player that wears number one, Clark. None of you, absolutely none of you, should be trying to double anybody else. Not Nikus, not Drame, not either Drame, not Barre, not Ronski, not anybody. Not D. McKelly either. And time and again, watching this team fall in the trap, good grief. What are we doing? I'm not having the Nelson slander. He's not a terrible pickup. He's had some good games for us this year. He is not having a good stretch right now. He did have 5 assists tonight, but he also had 3 turnovers, and turnovers were a problem. But let me get to this point. And maybe that's, maybe this one's on Odom too, Doug Hines. Maybe that's a fair criticism that he didn't make any adjustments. But for me, it's this. You are not going, you should never be leaving Day-Day Grant if you're guarding him. Never. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care what's going on down low. If you're giving up a dunk, that's better than giving up a 3 to Day-Day Grant. Huh? Ridiculous. Well, Bob Cornwallier, I'm not going to disagree with you. I don't like Sean Bairstow playing 38 minutes. Some of that is Kawani fouls, people being injured, a lot of different things. But he was not effective tonight. And again, you got to question his confidence because he passed up some shots that looked like good shots. And at times, Mike Urbanski and Rodney Ashby and Robbie Robinson would agree with you. They felt VCU overpassed. Maybe that was true in the second half. It certainly wasn't true in the first. Our perimeter defense was a joke in the second half. In the first half, it was fine. They were 4-for-15. In the second half, they were 6-for-13. And many of them were wide open shots. Here's something else I don't want to hear. Oh, they made so many tough shots. They made 1 or 2. Trey Clark's 3 in the second half that was really kind of a dagger is some guard, I don't know who, I don't know which one because I was losing track, is down low trying to double somebody and then runs out like a maniac trying to close out on Trey Clark. And what does a veteran guy like Trey Clark do? He fakes the shot, lets him jump into the dadgum bench, take 1 step to the left or right, I think it was 1 step to the left, and nails a 3. What is going on? Seriously, if you are not going to stay in good guarding position, you shouldn't be staying out on the floor if you're a guard. That is everybody. And here's the other key point. VCU gets the lead, has a great start to the second half. A fantastic start to the second half. And they're playing well, and they get the lead. Let me find it. Let me find the doggone score. Golly Moses, I want the scoring plays. All right. VCU gets the dunk by Bairstow. So they've got momentum. It's 41-38 VCU. They've recovered to take the lead. And Jason Nelson, God love you, because you are a good defensive player. But Jason Nelson, you get caught cheating. You are leaning, and doggone Trey Clark does a little jab step. You get out of position, step back 3, bam, tie game. And then we follow it up with a turnover, and they take the lead, and they are in the lead after that the rest of the way. Jason, what in the heck? What in the heck? So now it's going to come down to either they got to win at Dayton or they got to get help. So, and look, Dayton's got their own problems. Javon Bennett is injured, and I don't know, and they'll probably win tonight. But if Javon Bennett can't play Friday, they don't have a reliable ball handler, and it's a problem. You saw what happened in the second half against Loyola Chicago when he couldn't play. You know, they turned the ball over an insane amount of times. But honestly, this is a loss because, again, defensively, we played brainless out there. Absolutely brainless. You cannot leave Day-Day Grant open time after time after time. He is an all-league player. He is an excellent three-point shooter. He is an excellent foul shooter. Thankfully, we didn't get the huge dose of that tonight. He got five free throws, made them all. What a shock. So I'm left to wonder what we're working on defensively in practice. I'm really left to wonder that. I'm also left to wonder how one of the worst rebounding teams in the league could out-rebound us by two, could out-rebound us on offense by three, and end up with five more second chance points. Jeez. Absolutely brutal tonight. And there is no other word for it. There is no other word for it. So this is now, what are we looking at? This is three, I mean, except for the Rhode Island game, this is some poor defensive efforts we've had recently. In fact, let's look at it here. This is, I mean, really, even the St. Joe's game wasn't great. So, I mean, you go back since they held Dayton to 47. St. Louis got 85. Massachusetts got 74. St. Joe's got 69, which it wasn't as bad as this effort, but it wasn't great either because they had that stretch where they made all those threes because VCU again left a really elite shooters wide open. Rhode Island got 67. That was okay. Richmond got 79. Duquesne, who's not a good offensive team, gets 69 tonight. 69 points tonight. So, well, Adam Ball, I got my problems with that. The problem is we were kind of painted into a corner tonight with the injuries and with no Shulga. But, yeah, I don't want Bairstow playing 38 minutes. I really don't want anybody playing 30 minutes because I think there's a problem there. And you know what, Bruce Stevenson? That's a good comparison. This is kind of like the 2022 ending. But Harold Culpepper, let me tell you something. Max is not a good defensive player, and Max would have had the same problems tonight. He would have had the same problems against Day-Day Grant, and he would have had the same problems against Trey Clark. So Max means something in the sense that he means, you know, the foul shooting is important. And unfortunately, our foul shooting was not good tonight because Toby LaWall had a rare bad night at the foul line. He was 1 for 4, which is, again, unusual for him. He's been really good this year. But don't come at me with the Max stuff because Max isn't a good defender even when he's healthy. And I think he would have done some of the same silly things. Why in God's name were we doubling down in the paint? Why were we doing it? I just don't understand. Well, Chris Conway, I'm not going to agree with that necessarily because I thought in the second half we were doing a lot better job of it. We were getting drives to the basket. The problem was when they were collapsing, we really couldn't kick this ball out. And at times we weren't trying to. We had terribly difficult passes in congested areas. Sean Bairstow and Jason Nelson and Zeb Jackson were offenders in that regard. And they often led to turnovers. Although to be fair, they only had 6 turnovers in the second half. And Duquesne had 8. So Duquesne gave them a chance in the second half with turnovers. That's kind of true, Harold Culpepper. And the offense wasn't great, but that was a good defense we played tonight, Harold. And the problem is we lost this game because for reasons only known to these players, we kept leaving the best player on that team wide open, Day-Day Grant, and he burned us. A couple of different times, he came barely over the timeline and nobody's around him, and he shot it. And one time it went in as it was a swish, And the second time, it should have went in, and they got lucky. And it's like, seriously, it's just like Jordan King the other night. You have to be affixed to that man at all times. Wherever he goes, you go. You're his buddy. Remember the My Buddy commercials and those things? My Buddy, wherever I go, he goes. That's how you have to guard guys like Jordan King and Dede Grant, or they will cook your rear end. Zeb was not the worst player in the second half. He wasn't great, Doug Hines. He wasn't the worst defender, although, again, defensively, it wasn't great. It wasn't great at all. Matt Ball, I don't understand. Michael Bell would have been out there more for me because, again, you needed a guy. If these other guys couldn't stay with Dede Grant and couldn't get around these screens, maybe Michael Bell would. He got 5 minutes in the second half. He had a turnover. I don't know. But everybody, and Bamisil too, I got to throw him in there even though he was their best player in the second half, and he had a big second half. He had 12 points. Bamisil did the same thing. And it's like, if you're not going to fight through these screens, then this crap's going to happen all the time. You have got to fight through these screens with everything you've got. You cannot be it cannot be as simple as somebody stands there and you run into him and the guy's open. I'm not going to say that, Chris Conway. Remember, one of our tournament championships came when we had to play four games. So I'm not saying that. I'm not giving up on the season yet. Because, again, this team is still capable of being really good. It's just that I don't know what's happened to this defense the last 2 or 3 weeks. Because it hasn't been good since the Dayton game. And I don't know if that's they read their own press clippings and got happy with themselves, or they've been so worried about the offense that they haven't kept working at the things defensively to stay a good defensive team. Again, there was some bad luck tonight. Billups going out was a killer because he was starting to get going, and we know that when he gets hot, he can score a bunch of points. And that was a killer for us. Believe me, he got 9 minutes in the first half. He'd have got at least that in the second half, maybe more. And perhaps he would have done a better defensive job, maybe not. I don't know. You know, allegedly his defense is why he's not been getting the time that we would like to see him get. I have a hard time with that, given some of the other players who don't play defense on this team very well. And I would have come, and even though he'd sat a long time, I do think they needed to come back with Kawani, if for no other reason than to and maybe disrupt some of these screens that the Dramas and the Barres were putting on them. I'm not saying the Duke and the Richmond wins at home are a fluke. I'm not saying that. No, I'm not doing that. That's baloney. The things that they did right in those games, they can do right and turn this around. But honestly, it really is not this complicated on defense. You know who the really good players are here. There is a reason Duquesne has struggled, and it's because time and attention has gone in to Trey Clark and Dede Grant because they're clearly the best offensive players this team's got. And yet, time and again, those guys were left open. And Trey Clark did not shoot well tonight. He was 3 for 14 from the field. But Grant was nearly 50%, and he was super efficient. 17 shots, 26 points. Nearly 50% from three, and of course 100% from the foul line. But Grant gave us some turnovers. He had 4 turnovers tonight. You're looking for that. Clark had 3 turnovers tonight. You're looking for that. Oh, Dan Gaetanis, I won't even say we were the better team. We were the tougher team in those Richmond and Dayton games. And for whatever reason, we've lost that. We haven't been the tougher team in most of these games since. Rhode Island, you could argue, but the rest of them? And honestly, I'll go back to the very first game afterwards, which was that damn St. Louis game, because I think we got the wrong idea. Oh, we're good now. We've won all these games, and we've scored 95 on the road, and we can rely on that. And flat as a tack, terrible at UMass. Almost gave the game away with St. Joe's. The Rhode Island game was good. Gave away the game at Richmond with just atrocious defense in the second half. Gave the game away at home. Yeah, and there was a lot of that, Jeffrey Ackerman. And in the first half, it was really bad. The ball was sticking on one side of the floor. And that's never good against any team, but not a team as good defensively as Duquesne. And let's give Duquesne some credit. You know, they were 0-5 in this league, and they're over 500 now. So we're not – they've been playing well for a month and a half, 2 months now, after a horror start. And let's be real. In that 0-5 start, there were two or three games they probably should have won. So they should be really going for a bye, and they're not, because they lost some games that were just incomprehensible at the start. So VCU's got 3 days to look at themselves in the mirror and figure this crap out. And again, defensively, let's get back to basics, which means stay with your assignment and do your job and not somebody else's. Trust your teammates. And if you get beat and they're going to the basket, then we'll see what happens. Hopefully everybody rotates like they're supposed to. That's another thing that happened tonight. Somebody would get by their man, and the rotations were terrible. They were slow, so the kick out was always there. Duquesne made the extra pass time and again and got baskets. That was no good either. But seriously, let's get back to basics. Let's be more judicious with these hedges and double teams. And let's tell everybody that hits that floor, do your job. Don't try to do somebody else's job. Don't try to be the hero on defense, because that isn't gonna do the trick. That is not gonna do the trick. Playing as a team, communicating, but most of all, doing your job first and not doing somebody else's. That's the issue. More than anything, that is the issue defensively. And honest to God, whoever is guarding Kobe Elvis or Kobe Brea tomorrow night, Friday night, or Nate Santos, if you're going to go and double-team Deron Holmes, we're going to say the same thing we said the first time. You've got to be judicious with it, and you've got to time it right, because he is a good enough passer that they will eat you up kicking it out. And here's something else. They may not have Javon Bennett, so if that's the case, VCU has got to make them work both ends of the floor. Because if there's any other criticism I would have tonight, is that there were way too many possessions, most of them in the first half, only a few in the second, where VCU really didn't work the Duquesne defense at all, either because they took a quick shot or because we had a situation where the ball's not moving and everybody's standing around. You have got to make to work the other team's defense. You've got to make them run around. You've got to make them chase you. The ball's got to keep moving. If for no other reason, then you tire them out on offense. And they lose that lift in their jumpers and those kinds of things. And again, this is another second half after a decent first half defensively where the other team shoots the ball well. 48% in the second half for Duquesne, 13 to 27. 6 of 13 from the three, that's 46%. I mean, that could be true, Doug Hines. We could have two games left. But I'm not saying that because, again, I know what this team is capable of on the positive side. But, again, they have got to do the basic things well, and this coaching staff has to get on them about it. Because I honestly can't believe that was the defensive plan out there. And I will – at some point, listen to the post-game show and hear what Ryan Odom says about what they did defensively. Because honest to God, if they were telling our guards to help down in the post on these guys, I will go right through the roof tomorrow. I will go right through the roof tomorrow. Because that is ludicrous. Again, don't do it. There was nobody on Duquesne tonight that was good enough to warrant that. Stay with your man, especially when your man is Day-Day Grant. Especially when your man is Trey Clark. And God, what a satisfying thing for him. He's got two games against VCU, and he's got two wins against VCU. And you know he was celebrating big time in that locker room. And that was a funny thing, was that somebody in the threads like, what's Duquesne got to play for? They were playing for Trey Clark. And that's one thing I've always loved about Keith Danbrot teams. Keith Danbrot teams are really a family, and if somebody's got a personal issue with somebody else on another team, they won't go and be stupid and fight and do stuff like that. They'll get the best revenge of all, and that's winning the game. And that's what Duquesne got tonight. So you tip your cap to them based on that. So Friday night, 7 o'clock, I think it is. I'm almost certain that it is. 7 p.m. ESPN2, maybe not ESPN+. Let's just hope work will Duquesne hasn't been too bad. I mean, Dayton dropped a safe on Duquesne in the second half. Duquesne was pretty competitive at Richmond and Loyola, if memory serves. In fact, I'll just look that up now while you're saying that, because as I recall, Duquesne was all right in those games. I think the Richmond game was the one where they led and gave up like a 22-2 run or some nonsense like that. No, they only lost by 2 at home to Richmond. And I think it was one of those games where they gave up a 22-2 run at the end. It might have been St. Bonaventure. I don't know. What do they do against Loyola this year? Yeah, they lost by 5 against Loyola on the road. So don't be doing down Duquesne. They're over 500 after an 0-5 start. So you got to tip their cap. Tip your cap to them. So Friday night, Dayton, last game of the season. Lord willing, and work cooperates, I'll be able to get in position to watch the game and do the live pod as always. We're still working on this women's pod for the tournament, getting ready. And remember, VCU women, Friday, 5 p.m., round one against either, I think it's St. Louis or UMass. Also, Sarate Biasu, Conference Player of the Year, well-deserved. What a year she's had. Tamaya Lewis Utsi, third team all conference. Mykel Parham, all defense. Banner year for VCU, 26 wins. So go out and support them at the Henrico Sports and Entertainment Center on Friday. So do that. But we're hoping to have a pod in the next few days about that. And we'll have pods next week previewing the tournament, of course. It would really help if VCU could get that double bye and not start till Thursday, because that could just compress everything. But we're working on that anyway. So that's the plan. VCU good and the bad and the ugly. Join us because, again, tales from the non-conference around the A-10. We keep track on all our teams that we played against during the season and what they're doing. I'm just doing a quick check to see what Dayton's doing right now. I'm sure. Oh no, Dayton's having a little trouble with St. Louis. It's only a 4-point game. 6.5 minutes left in the first. I'm sure Dayton will pull away at some point though. But join us. The game threads are wild. And I appreciate these live videos and the comments we get because it adds to the podcast. We keep track of our other teams as well. VCU baseball was supposed to play nationally ranked East Carolina today, but weather caused problems with that. So that's what we do. And, so join us, VCU Good and the Bad and the Ugly. So I will hopefully see you all guys Friday night and Saturday for those of you in podcast land. Thank you for your comments. Thank you, as always, for helping out with this podcast. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
To submit a question for George to answer in an upcoming episode or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities for this podcast, please email ramsrewind@gmail.com. We'll be back after the next game, and thanks for listening to this episode of Rams Rewind.